Have you ever wondered how a massive company actually decides where to build its next, $220 million facility?
Oh, it's a fascinating process.
Right, because I think most of us picture like a boardroom somewhere, maybe a group of executives standing around a giant map, throwing darts, or just picking whatever city offers to put their name on a stadium.
Right, yeah, the classic dartboard method.
Exactly. But the reality, it is not a dartboard. It's a ruthless, highly secretive, and obsessively data-driven marathon of elimination.
It is entirely an elimination game. The objective isn't really to find the perfect city, right off the bat.
Really?
Yeah, the objective for these site selectors is actually to find the very first valid excuse to cross your city off their list.
Wow.
That way they can narrow down their options and, manage their own risk.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because that invisible high-stakes machinery of corporate site selection is our mission for today's deep dive.
Great topic.
We are looking at a really fascinating stack of internal presentation slides from the New Mexico Partnership, as well as some strategic briefings from the Sandoval Economic Alliance.
Some really granular data in there.
Definitely. And our goal today is to understand exactly how a community attracts these high-value industries. Specifically, we're looking at the critical role that organizations like the Sandoval Economic Alliance play in putting Sandoval County and the city of Rio Rancho on the map for these national site selectors.
Right, getting on the map is half the battle.
Exactly. So to understand how a community lands a massive project, we first have to look at the sheer scale of the starting line. I mean, it is a brutal numbers game.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at the raw data, the funnel is incredibly steep. I mean, you don't just put up a billboard and wait for a tech giant to call.
Right, if only it were that easy.
You really have to manufacture those interactions at an industrial scale.
So let's break down the actual math here from their fiscal year 2025 data. At the very top of this funnel, they recorded 3,832 what they call contacts.
Yep.
Almost 4,000.
Nearly 4,000 initial touch points. And they generate those through this massive scattergun approach. We're talking about the New Mexico Economic Development Magazine reaching like over 280,000 people, digital ad campaigns hitting 100,000 impressions in a single month. They're sending out targeted emails to site selectors.
Which, by the way, have a 25% open rate.
I saw that. That seems unusually high for, cold outreach.
It does, but it speaks to the highly specialized nature of the industry.
Yeah.
Site selectors are constantly scanning the horizon for new inventory, so they actually do read those emails.
That makes sense.
But, a contact is just a blip on the radar. It might be a quick conversation at a trade show, a click on an ad, maybe a cold call. It doesn't mean a company has any actual intention of moving.
And that's where the massive drop-off happens, because out of those 3,832 contacts, they only filtered down to 185 leads.
Right.
And then from 185 leads, they got 65 PROs.
Which stands for potential recruitment opportunities, right? Potential recruitment opportunities. Out of those 65 PROs, they managed to get 24 physical site visits.
And then the final number.
Yeah, out of all of that effort, they secured 9 locates, 9 actual wins,
Which is, yeah, it's wild.
which ultimately produced 1,016 jobs. But going from nearly 4,000 contacts to just 9 wins, I mean, it feels like a highly competitive corporate dating app where almost everyone is just getting swiped left.
That's a pretty good analogy, actually.
So how does an economic alliance even figure out who is a genuine lead versus just some casual contact browsing a website?
Well, what's fascinating here is the mechanics of verification. It requires multiple ongoing touch points to figure out if a company actually has a physical growth trajectory.
Like what kind of touch points?
So the economic developers are probing for specific indicators, like does this company have a new product line launching? Are they maxing out their current utility grid in, say, another state? And crucially, what is their timeline? If a company says, we're growing, we'll need space in 1 to 5 years, that is categorized as a lead. You keep them warm, you send them data.
Right, you nurture the relationship.
Exactly. But they don't move to that next crucial stage, the PRO, or potential recruitment opportunity, until there is an actual funded immediate project on the table.
Got it. And once it becomes an immediate project, that's when the New Mexico Partnership steps in to manage the process, right?
Yeah.
Ensuring all communities in the state have the opportunity to pitch.
Yes.
But getting designated as a PRO isn't really a victory lap, is it?
Oh, definitely not.
In fact, because the funnel is so steep, becoming a PRO is really just an invitation to take the hardest test of all, the request for information, or the RFI stage.
The RFI is where the illusion of marketing completely vanishes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Site selectors are no longer interested in glossy brochures or, you know, promises of a great quality of life. They are demanding granular, highly specific technical data, and they want it instantly.
We're talking about incredibly detailed metrics here. I was looking at the... They want the local consumer price index. They want local traffic counts.
Soil composition, seismic data.
Yeah. And if you are a city and you take 3 weeks to find that data, you're out. You've been eliminated.
You're done. Speed is everything.
And this is where the Sandoval Economic Alliance really does the heavy lifting for their region. They handle this massive technical workflow, pulling together complex responses for Rio Rancho in days, not weeks.
Which is a huge competitive advantage.
But looking at the briefing, the absolute deal killer isn't just slow data, it's the infrastructure gap.
Yeah. The utility barrier is the single largest hurdle in modern economic development, period.
Because modern logistics and manufacturing firms, they require massive utility loads, right? Power, water, fiber.
Enormous loads.
And the briefing points out that a 14 to 16 month wait for a power or water build-out is an absolute deal killer.
Right.
Which makes total sense. Right. It's like buying a massive piece of IKEA furniture, getting it home, and realizing the factory forgot to drill the holes.
Yeah, exactly.
You aren't going to sit there and drill them yourself. You're just going to return it. Companies are paying for speed and assembly, not raw, undeveloped dirt.
Absolutely.
But here's where it gets really interesting. The Sandoval Economic Alliance isn't just sitting around waiting for these RFIs to come in.
Right, they can't afford to.
They are proactively auditing their local site inventory in Rio Rancho and Sandoval County. They are actively hunting for parcels where power, water, and fiber are already sitting at the curb. Because in today's market, shovel-ready is the only way to play.
And to take that a step further, let's look at the financial mechanics behind why shovel-ready is a mandate and not just a preference.
Okay.
We are currently operating in a market with incredibly expensive capital. Interest rates are a significant factor right now.
Sure.
So think about a $220 million manufacturing facility. If a company chooses a site that requires a 16-month delay just to get the heavy power lines extended to the property line.
That's a lot of waiting.
It is. And they are holding debt on that capital for 16 months without producing a single product.
Oh, wow.
That is 16 months of carrying costs and 16 months of lost revenue. A corporate board just cannot afford that kind of exposure.
So the infrastructure has to be there.
Exactly. The communities that pre-invest in utility extensions, that take the risk to make that land shovel-ready, those are the only ones surviving the RFI stage.
But surviving that massive data purge doesn't mean you get to cut a ribbon.
Nope.
It just means you've earned a physical audit. Because no corporate board is signing off on $250 million based on a PDF.
Definitely not.
Which brings us to the finalist site visits. And looking at the source material, the secrecy here is intense.
It really has to be. The stakes are entirely too high for public speculation at this point in the funnel.
I was reading that to even receive these PROs, the local recipients have to sign strict agreements. They have to agree to prospect handling protocols, participate in annual training, and maintain absolute confidentiality.
It's locked down tight.
And the companies operate under these covert code names. The presentation lists a bunch of them. There was Project Ranger, which was a $220 million investment.
Yep.
And looking at the sample list, you see names like Argus for a megasite search, Band for a Bitcoin data center, Iron Man for oil and gas tubular components. It feels a bit like a spy novel.
It does sound like one.
So what is the practical reason for all this cloak and dagger?
Well, it's actually much more grounded than a spy novel. It's about protecting the bottom line.
Okay, how so?
If word leaks that a major tech company is scouting, say, 300 acres in Rio Rancho, land speculators will immediately swoop in.
Wow.
They'll buy up adjacent parcels and drive up prices astronomically. That alone can kill the deal.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, and the flip side is competitor intelligence. If a company's main rival finds out they're building a massive new facility to produce a specific component, the rival can adjust their own strategy to undercut them before the first shovel even hits the dirt. So the secrecy is really a financial shield.
Wow. See, I always assumed these finalist site visits were a bit more glamorous.
Like a parade.
Yeah. Yeah, they narrow it down to 3 to 5 finalist sites. They fly into town, and maybe the mayor hosts a fancy VIP dinner to woo the executives.
Right.
From what we are seeing in the briefings, that's not what happens at all.
Yeah, the glamour is a total myth. These are intense, behind closed doors verifications.
No VIP dinners.
I mean, maybe eventually, but the company isn't sending their marketing team for these visits. They're sending structural engineers and utility specialists.
The heavy hitters.
Exactly. They are flying in to confirm that every single thing you claimed in that RFI is actually true. They are sitting across the table from local utility partners to verify the power capacity and to check if the grid can actually handle a massive surge without browning out the rest of the city.
That sounds stressful.
It is. They are meeting with workforce training entities to ensure the local community college can actually produce the welders or technicians they need. This is where the real friction happens.
It's an interrogation.
Pretty much. If the water authority admits during a closed-door meeting that pressure drops during peak summer hours, the deal dies right there in the room. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this stage is entirely about finalizing trust.
So the site visit is really a high-stakes interrogation of the local infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And if you survive that interrogation, the conversation inevitably turns to the ultimate tiebreaker. The money.
Always comes down to the money.
State and local incentives.
Yeah. You've proven the physical site works. Now the company is demanding that you prove the math works.
And New Mexico has some established tools here. According to the strategic briefing from the Sandoval Economic Alliance, labor costs are a big part of what gets New Mexico in the door.
Right.
They cite a 10.1% growth pipeline in math and computer occupations. So the human talent is there. And then you have the state incentives. Things like LEDA, which is the Local Economic Development Act.
Mm-hmm.
You have JTIP, the Job Training Incentive Program, and the High Wage Jobs Tax Credit.
Those are fundamental pillars for the state. But the New Mexico partnership highlights a golden rule in economic development. No incentives can make up for a bad location, but they can edge out competition when everything else is equal.
See, I'm looking at these state incentives, and it feels like a bit of a trap.
How so?
Well, if a company is looking at Sandoval County, but they are also looking at a site in Texas or Arizona, those other states have their own versions of LEDA and JTIP, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So what does this all mean? If everyone is offering roughly the same tax credits, they kind of just cancel each other out. They're just the ante to sit at the poker table. They aren't enough to actually win the hand. So how does Sandoval County break the tie?
The ante analogy is spot on. State incentives get you on the short list. But to actually close the deal and beat out aggressive neighboring states, it requires localized precision.
Yeah.
This is where an organization like the Sandoval Economic Alliance becomes absolutely vital. They work directly with city leaders in Rio Rancho and Sandoval County to craft hyper-local offsets that push the deal over the finish line.
The briefing mentions industrial revenue bonds, or IRBs, as one of those local weapons. Stop right there, because we hear that term thrown around in local news all the time.
Oh, constantly.
How does an IRB actually work? Because to be honest, it sounds like the city is just giving the company free money.
It is definitely not free money. It's really a structural maneuver to lower early overhead.
Okay, walk me through it.
Think about the mechanics of an IRB. When a company builds a massive facility, they are filling it with tens of millions of dollars worth of highly specialized, expensive equipment.
Sure.
Normally, they would have to pay heavy property taxes on all of that equipment from day one, before they are even turning a profit.
That's a huge upfront cost.
Exactly. With an IRB, the local municipality essentially agrees to legally hold the title to the project assets for a set lease period.
The city owns it.
Technically.
Right.
And because the municipality is technically the owner, the property is exempt from certain property and equipment taxes.
Right.
The company still pays for everything. They still assume all the risk.
Right.
But they are shielded from that crippling tax burden during their most vulnerable startup years.
So if you're listening to this and wondering why your city's taxes are structured the way they are, or why a new factory seemingly gets a tax break, this is why. Local leaders are playing a 10-year chess game with these corporations. They are trading early, short-term equipment tax revenue in exchange for thousands of permanent jobs that will pump payroll taxes and secondary spending into the local economy for decades.
Exactly the point. The corporate board isn't just looking at the upfront construction cost. They are looking at the total cost of operation over a 10-year horizon.
The long game.
Precisely. If the Sandoval Economic Alliance can coordinate a customized mix of local abatements like an IRB, expedited permitting, or local infrastructure offsets to lower that 10-year operating cost below what Texas or Arizona is offering, that is what ultimately gets the yes from the board.
Okay, so the state incentives are signed, the local IRBs are legally structured, the board says yes, and Sandoval County wins the bid.
Big win.
The code name is dropped, the press release goes out, pop the champagne.
Celebrate for a minute, sure.
But looking at this deep dive, the finish line is actually just another starting line.
Oh, absolutely. The public announcement is really just the end of phase one.
Because the timeline itself is staggering. The data shows that a very fast project going through this whole funnel takes at least 6 months.
And that's if everything goes perfectly.
Right. But more often, they take 8 to 16 months, sometimes 2 to 3 years before a location decision is finalized.
It's a marathon.
And then, after the win, the real local friction begins.
Because now the theoretical becomes physical. After the win, you still have to complete the official incentive applications with the state.
The paperwork.
Endless paperwork. You have to navigate the public zoning processes now that the veil of secrecy is lifted, and the community actually wants to know what is being built in their backyard.
Which is totally fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the local community has to hold the company's hand through the permitting gauntlet, finalizing those JTIP training programs with the local colleges, and literally getting the shovels into the dirt to open the facility doors.
And from what I see, the Sandoval Economic Alliance doesn't just walk away once the ribbon is finally cut.
No, they can't.
They maintain contact to ensure the long-term retainment of those jobs. Because if you just spent 2 years fighting through RFIs, utility audits, and IRB negotiations to bring 1,000 jobs to Rio Rancho,
you don't want to lose them.
Exactly. You need to make sure they don't pack up and leave a decade later when their tax abatements expire.
This raises an important question about strategy. It shifts from business attraction to business retention.
Okay.
Providing ongoing networking, connection to local supply chains, and upskill training assistance. If a company feels supported after they open their doors, they are far more likely to expand on that very same site when it's time to grow again. Instead of starting this brutal elimination process all over.
It really is a relentless marathon. To summarize what we've unpacked today, economic development at this scale has nothing to do with luck. We're throwing darts at a map.
Not at all.
It is about constantly feeding a massive funnel of contacts. It's about surviving the RFI grind by providing granular data in days, not weeks. It's about physically preparing your local infrastructure so that it is shovel ready to meet the speed to market mandate.
And offset those high borrowing costs.
Right. And it's about leveraging hyperlocal mechanisms like IRBs to lower the 10-year operating costs and win the final boardroom math. And all of this is orchestrated behind the scenes by groups like the Sandoval Economic Alliance, making sure their local communities don't get eliminated before they even have a chance to play.
It's a highly sophisticated machinery operating right beneath the surface of the local economy. Honestly, every time you drive past a new industrial park, you are looking at the result of years of invisible friction and negotiation.
Which leaves me with one final thought to mull over, looking toward the future. We know this is an obsessively data-driven process right now, but we are moving into an era where artificial intelligence might soon be able to instantly evaluate every square inch of utility data, labor statistics, and tax codes globally in seconds. That's coming.
When that happens, will corporate site selection become a purely algorithmic decision? Or will the local relationships, the community hustle, and the human element of organizations like the Sandoval Economic Alliance still be the ultimate deciding factor? When the data is instantly accessible to everyone, will the algorithm throw the dart, or will we?
That is the ultimate question for the next decade of economic development. When data is no longer a competitive advantage, human trust becomes the only currency left.
Something to think about next time you see a massive new facility going up in your area and you realize just how much invisible machinery it took to get that first shovel in the ground. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.